started a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, just taking a look at a single word and developing a lesson on it. A couple of Sunday nights ago, the lesson was just on Thanksgiving and how to develop an attitude of gratitude. Last Sunday evening was on patience. And so we had to try to learn what to do with patience or how to be patient. Tonight's word is discouraged. Discouraged, or depressed. In this context, I'm not talking about clinical depression, but just simply that discouragement that happens to all of us. It ignores success and fame. Everyone gets discouraged. It bites those who have arrived, and as well as those who are down and out. It hits the rich, the poor, Republican, the Democrat, the Texan. It doesn't matter. And to some degree, it affects all of us at some time. Discouragement. Vine, in his expository dictionary of New Testament words, has this definition. It says to be disheartened, dispirited, discouraged. It's found in Colossians 3, verse 21, where it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children. Provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Ephesians 6, verse 4 gives the same message. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." My meaning of that, in the father's discipline of their children, they are not to discipline in such a way that the child would be discouraged or he would not want to obey authority. So, or rebel against authority. And not only rebel against the father's authority, but in that discipline, they will always have to submit to somebody or something. So we want to teach our children to respect authority, not only the father, but their teachers. As they get older, their employer, respect the authority of government, and ultimately respect the authority of God. So we want our children to learn to submit while they're young, and then that has that verse, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Discouraged. He defines it as one who is hindered and taken out of service. Taken out of service. So if your discouragement renders you where you're not serving or ministry or helping somebody else, or you don't have an outlook for others, we're in trouble. It says, Webster adds to it, you are weakened in stamina. When you're discouraged, think, I don't want to do anything. I'm discouraged. It means to feel dejected or depressed. To take the heart out of. Discouraged. To be deprived of courage or confidence. Yeah. I remember when I was teaching school, Monday morning, I'd come into the office and there'd be some staff there. And first thing I would say when I bounced in, I'd say, "Boy, I thought that weekend would never end so we could get back to work." And then you duck. It's Monday morning. And they don't care for that. They didn't appreciate my optimism or my humor. So I use that expression many times. Somebody say, "How you doing?" I say, "Every day's a great day. Some are just better than others." Oh yeah, but they're all great days. In today's language, when we think about discouragement, it's Monday morning blues that linger. Wednesday, Thursday. It means having a sad face. It's a feeling of doom, gloom, and agony on me. When someone says, "I don't see any way out of this," depressed. It's an attitude of "I've fallen and can't get up." I'm depressed, discouraged. We feel trapped. We're caught in a dark mode. Someone said, "Brian, I'm just down and out." He's discouraged. And to tell them, just whistle a happy tune, doesn't help. It's interesting, but a lot of God's people, many of them experience discouragement. God's leaders, Moses, congregation complained to him about the manna that God was giving them or feeding them. And in Numbers chapter 11, Moses comes to God and he says, where am I to get meat for all these people? Because that's what they cried for. We want meat. We're tired of this manna, this bread. So God said, where am I going to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm not able to bear with all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. Oh, Moses, you're leading God's people and you have a situation. I can't bear these people. A heavy burden with this congregation of your people, God. And Moses says, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I find favor in your sight, don't let me see my wretchedness. Oh, Moses. In a leadership position, things aren't going so well. People are crying out against you. Can't bear these people. Heavy burden. Well, the story continues in Numbers 11, verses 19 and 20. God tells Moses, and you know the story, I'll give them meat. Not 10 days or 20 days, but basically for a whole month. Until, he says, it comes out their nostrils and is loathsome. Verse 21, Moses says, God, we're 600,000 men. In essence, he says, can you do that? One of my favorite verses, Numbers 11, verse 23. Is the Lord's hand wax short? Does the Lord have alligator arms? No. So God's leaders can be discouraged. Burden gets heavy. And then it continues in same still with Moses in Numbers 32, still on the journey to the promised land. He says, for when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord God had given them. So here you have somebody that's discouraging and said, no, we can't do it, and they influence somebody else. So you think, well, this is just me, I'm just discouraged. Yeah, but somebody else sees you, or you have that influence on others. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. And then the lesson is, and also Numbers 21, verse 4. So they journeyed to from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Not only Moses, but the people themselves. And then they influenced the others in their discouragement. Finally, Moses gets them out after the 40 years of wandering, gets them close to the promised land, just up across the River Jordan. Moses gathers them together, and here's what he says in Deuteronomy 1, verse 21. He says, look, tells the people, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. Some of God's best people, as we say, influential leaders, get discouraged when the people complain or murmur against him. I'm nobody here. I don't take this personally. I haven't heard anybody murmur yet, anything, but it's just interesting. God's leaders can get discouraged. You think of David. He's king. He's the man after God's own heart. He's in the lineage of David, of Jesus. In Psalm 31, David, what do you have to say? It says, have mercy on me, O Lord. I'm in distress. My eye is wasted with grief, and my soul and my body, and my ears with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery. I've passed out of mind like someone who's dead. I'm a broken vessel, yet I hear the whisper of many and terror on every side. David, how do you feel? In distress, grief, sighing, misery, broken vessel, and terror. David? In Psalm 42, verse 6, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." David? Never get discouraged. Happens to everybody, doesn't it? In Psalm 88, verse 3, "My soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave." Full of troubles. David? In Psalm 142, verse 4, "Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." And David, really? God cares. Well, your family cares. Well, there's a list of people that care. I know your friends probably care for your soul. You can't say, but that's the way he felt. Nobody cares for my soul. And then he cries out in Psalm 142, verse 6. "I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." Someone cares. Then you look at Job after the loss of family and material things. Job 7, verse 3. "So I've been allotted months of emptiness, and nights of misery are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when am I going to get up? And when are the weary nights going to be ended? For I've had my fill of tossing until dawn." Ever get that? Jeremiah, prophet, he was involved in an unpopular ministry because he's predicting the capture of Judah. And the people didn't like Jeremiah's message. And so much so that he writes that next book, Lamentations, which means, you know, the weeping prophet. "People don't like the sermons I'm preaching," Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 20, verse 14 says, "Cursed is the day in which I was born. Let not the day be blessed in which my mother bore me." In Jeremiah 20, verse 18, "Why did I come forth from the womb to see toil and sorrow?" Wow, Jeremiah, things are pretty bad. Are you discouraged? Oh, yeah. And what about us? There's a possibility in our spiritual life to be discouraged. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, the Hebrew writer says, "For consider him," meaning Jesus, "consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." So in our consideration of Jesus, here's the Hebrew writer's conclusion. Consider Jesus, how he dealt with hostility, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So who are you going to look to when you're discouraged? Well, Jesus sets the example. And then, you know, we can experience a few bouts of discouragement, but if we're willing to fight, it doesn't have to hang in there. It doesn't have to linger. So 1 John 4, verse 4, and you can probably quote this verse once I get it started. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Yeah. The Apostle Paul had some troubles. How's that Christianity working for you, Paul? How's it treating you being a Christian preacher? First, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, he said, "We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed," yeah, "but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed." Well, how's it working for you? Well, I'm hard pressed, I'm perplexed, I'm persecuted and struck down. I think I'll stay on Christianity's side. So I'm going to close with the story of Elijah. He's the example for us. The story is in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Elijah the prophet has just defeated 450 prophets of Baal. This is a classic illustration for someone who's discouraged. He's just defeated a mountaintop experience, 450 prophets of Baal versus Elijah, and Elijah wins. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, after he has the 450 prophets of Baal killed, he hears that wicked Queen Jezebel has threatened to kill him. So in 1 Kings 19, verse 3, it said when he heard that, he arose and ran for his life. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree, prayed that he might die. He said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life. Really? But before long, as you know, he gets out of the dumps and he lives a victorious life. But the question is, how did that happen, Elijah? What brought you out of that wilderness? What brought you out from under that broom tree? How did it happen? Elijah, how do you spell relief? So there's four steps in the story. Four things that brought Elijah out. Number one, he treated himself right. Meaning, if you're discouraged, stay healthy. Some people tell you that you're down and out, but you still have to maintain your health. And somebody said that to you. I don't feel like eating. You need to eat. Somebody sell that to you? That's what they said to Elijah. It's biblical. In 1 Kings 19, beginning of verse 5. So as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. He said, arise and eat. So he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. Angel of the Lord came a second time to him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So you may be discouraged, number one. Yeah, I feel down and out. But take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Drink water, sleep, lay down. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All right, Brian, preach on. Tell me more. All right, that's step number one. What do you like to do? My 4 points are all right here in the text. It's still in 1 Kings 19, verse 9. So there he went. Remember the 40 days journey. So there he went into a cave. Spent the night in that place. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous. I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Oh, but the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Poor you, Elijah. Yeah. So God wants, in a sense here, Elijah, tell me what's the problem. If you can, express it. So Elijah gave his, what have I done to deserve this, speech. So I want to say it, Elijah. Now get it out. What are you feeling right now? Don't talk to me. So number one, eat, drink water, and lay down. And on the strength of that, you can go a long ways. And then now number two is verbalize what the problem is, what you think it is, what's on your mind. Number three is review, and I put refresh and restore your faith. Restore your faith. You see, after a night now in that cave, after he's gone 40 days and 40 nights, he's in that cave. God asked Elijah again, what are you doing here? God allows Elijah a moment of discouragement. God allows Elijah to express your feelings about the matter. It's just me. And that's what the last thing Elijah said. I'm alone. I'm the only one left, and they're seeking to kill me. Elijah seems to say, God, how could you let this happen to me? My discouragement. This thing that's in my life that's pushing me down. God, how could you do that to me? So Elijah has his mountaintop experience, 450 prophets of Baal. He defeated the enemies, but now he thinks he's alone. So in verse 11, God said, go out. Elijah got out of the cave. Go out. Stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passed by. And the Lord demonstrated his strength in three things. A strong wind, and earthquake and fire. In verse 18, the Lord answers Elijah's wrong conclusion and about his discouragement. And in verse 18, God says to Elijah, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed Baal. So Elijah, God says, you see my strength in the fire and in the earthquake and in the strong wind? Elijah, go, get out of the cave, go. Stand on this mountain and watch. Watch. And then I'm going to tell you, you're not alone, God said. There's still 7,000 left that have not bowed down, that have not kissed Baal. So Elijah sees the strength of God. He sees that he's not alone. And then the last one, number four, get busy and go back to work. And don't we say that too when someone's discouraged? You need to get busy. Now, Pam, I'm going to tell on you. It was just a week or so ago, Dennis passed away a little over a month. And here she was back there and says, Pam, what are you doing? She says, I need to get busy. I need to be busy. Oh. Now she's had 30 days of mourning, and she'll still mourn. I do. It's in verses 15 and 16, still in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, and anoint Elisha, and you anoint him as prophet in your place. And then in verse 19, it says, so he departed from there. So God was giving Elijah a task. And it's been over a month since he heard Bell wanted to take his life. But now Elijah ran away. So there, Elijah, yeah, there was a time for discouragement. But it wasn't supposed to last. And it wasn't supposed to take you out of service. So Elijah, I have a job for you. Go back and anoint these people. Just the words of the song, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed. Easier said than done. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you. Chorus. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you, just like he did Elijah. So do God's people get depressed, discouraged, weary, misery, all those things? But there's a formula that's there. Treat yourself right, stay healthy. Verbalize, get a renewed view of your faith, restore your faith, and you can get back to work. I don't know the timeline. Elijah's was 40 days and 40 nights. But there's no timeline. Just do it. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you have that opportunity this evening. Whosoever will may come. It's simply to obey that last charge that Jesus gave to the apostles in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So Jesus wants a salvation message to be preached. And that's the invitation we extend every time we assemble together. So Ron, make your way to the front here and we'll sing this song. Let's stand together as we sing. And if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to obey that good news gospel message, just please let it be known at the close of the song.